There is a widespread expectation of racial tension, suspicion, prejudice, or acting out of anger in American life. What hasn't been resolved explicitly in this country has a way of expressing itself in other ways. A 2015 study from the American Psychological Association linked discrimination, what it calls microaggression and anticipation of racism, in more than 3,300 individuals, with heightened stress levels and mental illness. The study concluded that about half of adults in the U.S. would report they've experienced discrimination, unfair treatment from the police, neighbors, or being treated unfairly when receiving health care. Monica Williams is a psychologist, a professor, and the director of the University of Louisville's Center for Mental Health Disparities. She says that a patient being treated for PTSD showed her the seriousness of racially generated stress.
She had been a very high-functioning professional woman who worked at a large corporation, the name you would recognize if I said it, where she did trainings all over the world for international computer security. And she had two master's degrees and was very competent, very professional, very smart. And when I saw her in my office, she had been completely reduced to disabled as a result of what had happened to her on the job. It was a striking contrast to who she had been to the person she was at that moment, where she couldn't even get out of the house. She couldn't even walk her dog or make food for herself because of the racist experiences that she had encountered on the job.
How did racism in this particular case trigger something that I'm presuming this woman assumed she was immune from because she had all these credentials, she was so successful?
Exactly. She had encountered racism many times in her life and navigated it very successfully. And, you know, and this happened to her when she was traveling. She was out of the country. These were things that were said to her, racist, threatening things said to her by another coworker at a time she felt very vulnerable. And she worried that no one would be there to come to her aid if he did something to her. And when she went back to her employer about what had happened, they failed to take proper steps to ensure her safety on the job. So she started to think that no one would look out for her safety and well-being. And that was when she really had this sharp decline.
As a psychologist, what is the particular vulnerability of someone in a situation like this to feel alone and unsupported, even though HR procedures are ostensibly designed to protect everybody in the workplace?
Right. Well, she dealt with some ridicule and disbelief when she tried to talk to HR about what had happened. Additionally, I don't know if you watch the news, but law enforcement, which is supposed to be there to protect us, they're out there shooting unarmed black men. So those of us in the African American community, we can't count on them to keep us safe when bad things happen or when people threaten us.
So psychologically speaking, there is a dormant sense of vulnerability that can be triggered in a workplace where there would be no firearms and no police simply by virtue of the fact that a racist incident on the job conflates all of the vulnerabilities of African Americans that have been so dominant in the news stories in America over the last 2 years.
Absolutely. And when we think about PTSD and trauma, we're often just looking for an individual event. But it's important to recognize that the African-American community is suffering from historical trauma, cultural trauma, and community trauma. And that's all layered on top of these individual incidents. So that when one thing like this happens, it's not just one thing. It's accumulation of things that have been weighing on a person ever since they were born and had any recognition of race or who they are in society.
Well, that raises a question of how big is this from a clinical perspective? Because I'm wondering if there's a way of distinguishing between the stress of someone who encounters the nasty kind of discrimination that we've been talking about here in the workplace versus, say, a young black male oldest son who feels in a Ivy League school, for instance, extraordinary pressure to succeed because of some of the same racial issues, but it manifests itself completely differently. Can we distinguish those? Are they part of the same thing? As a psychologist, how would you look at that?
I think they are part of the same thing because there are so many pressures and stresses on African Americans, for example, not to live up to all of the negative stereotypes about us. And at the same time, we're receiving messages everywhere from the media and people who are overtly racist and people who are non-racist who say and do things that continue to reinforce the idea that we're less than. These things do accumulate. They're cumulative. And so what we often see is that African Americans who are successful, who are well-educated, who are having high-profile, successful careers, they are often experiencing more of these small racist events or microaggressions, as you will. And we see that this is connected even more strongly to outcomes like depression and anxiety.
If this is important, and you've advocated for this to be included in the DSM, the Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, so that individuals who have these kinds of problems can get medical attention and deal with it on a clinical basis. If that were to be the case, do you think every psychologist, black or white, could equally treat and counsel someone with this kind of a situation?
I think it's possible. I think right now we're not in a position to do that. But the greater awareness that would come from including this in the DSM would absolutely spur more training, more research, more education in how to understand and address this problem in clients and patients. So I think it would be invaluable. And I do believe that we as a field, as psychology, would step up to the plate and really do better in training people who are coming along to be able to help people with these problems.
As a professor and as a psychologist, how much tension do you feel, if we could elaborate on that for a moment, between the impulse to defend as a parent and the impulse to counsel and relieve stress, to essentially find some accommodation so that we're not always going into situations as blacks and whites and going, okay, who's mad? Who's angry? Who's going to pop off here?
Yeah, I do a lot of diversity trainings, and these diversity trainings have a tendency to become very contentious. So one of the things that I really work hard to do is create a space of safety for everyone involved. And it's really challenging, but I think it's really important because people can't move forward as long as they're angry and defending their position. They have to be able to sit back and empathize and connect with another person and take their perspective. So I think that's critical, and that's kind of the cornerstone of all of the trainings that I do.
Monica, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Monica Williams is a psychologist, a professor, and the director of the University of Louisville's Center for Mental Health Disparities.